I titled the sermon this morning, The Sum of Ingredients. And then I decided to change the title to Using Our God-Given Abilities. What do you see here? Does this make anybody hungry? This is actually a super supreme pizza that I got from one of our local, the picture comes from one of our local pizza places here in Albany. And if you'll notice and look, you'll see many different ingredients to this pizza. You'll see pepperoni and ham, onions, peppers, black olives, mushrooms, maybe ground beef or ground pork in this pizza, along with cheese and tomato sauce. This makes a pretty complete pizza, don't it? And this is a good-looking pizza. It's one of the best pictures that I could find. But let's say, for example, we take this pizza and we remove the black olives. We have taken away from this pizza. It is no longer a complete super supreme pizza, is it? Well, let's go one step farther and let's remove the pepperoni and the mushrooms. Now we've taken at least half of this pizza away. It is really incomplete now as a super supreme pizza. Well, let's remove something else. Let's take away the green olives. We take away the green olives and now it's beginning to look kind of bare, isn't it? Doesn't look like much of a pizza at all because we see more bread crust now than we see pizza. And if we remove the Italian sausage and the onions, we have no pizza at all. All we have is a crust. These ingredients all are supplied to make a complete pizza. And it would probably still be a pretty good tasting pizza if we removed one, maybe two of the ingredients. But the more ingredients that are taken away from the pizza, the less of a pizza it becomes. And it becomes nothing more than a round piece of bread. Now let's change our thinking about this. From our text earlier, we understand that we are all members of Christ's church. And just as the pizza has many different ingredients that make it a pizza, as members of the church, we all are different in our abilities, in our desires, and our job as members of the church. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. As Christians, we are the ingredients of the church. Now, the question becomes, how do we function together as church ingredients? You know, there is a great challenge that we have to consider as we work together, even just as a local congregation of the Lord's church. Now, we know the Lord's church is universal. But we also know that we, as part of the church here at Dawson Road, we are autonomous in our actions. We are autonomous in our work. And each one of us as individual Christians are autonomous within our own abilities. So think about that. Let's look at ourselves as we make up together within ourselves the Dawson Road Church of Christ. We're all different. We are all of a different age. We have come from different backgrounds. Perhaps we have grown from different cultures, maybe even from different races. Some of us come from a, quote, Christian background. Some of us do not. Some of us know the Bible well. We have been trained in the Bible from our youth up. And then we have those who have not. They are just now starting to learn and to study the Bible. So how are we, with all of our differences, how are we to come together and function together as a church? I think this was part of the idea that Paul was addressing from our text that Bill read to us a few minutes ago. Paul, in writing to the First Corinthian church, he has a bunch of Christians in Corinth who come from all of these different backgrounds, all of these different nationalities, all of these different upbringings, and they are the ones who are to come together and work together as a church. And not only that, these Christians had one more thing added to their distinctions as Christians. Some of them had spiritual gifts, and some of them did not. And among those who had the spiritual gifts, some of them could speak in tongues, which means different languages, not the gibberish that you hear people today claim to be able to do. Some had the gift of prophecy. Some had the gift of healing. And some had the gift of the word of knowledge in a greater way. And there are all these different gifts that these different people have, and they're coming together with all their different backgrounds into one people, and they are to represent Christ as a people, as a congregation. Now, how is this going to happen? How are they going to be able to pull this off? Well, we find as we read from the writings of the Apostle Paul, sometimes they didn't pull it off. When we go to the book of Revelation and we read the letters that were written to the seven churches of Asia, we find some of them didn't pull it off. It's not an easy thing for all of us different people to come together and work together to get a job done that God has asked us to do. And we have that same problem today. Now, we don't have these miraculous gifts that the apostles gave to some of the Christians in the early church, but we all have gifts that God Himself has given to us. We all have different abilities. We all have different ideas as to how the church needs to function here at Dawson Road. So how do we do this? How do we pull this off? How do we come together? We all have different interests. We all want to see a particular thing do well, maybe more so than some of the other things that we do. How do we balance that out? Well, that's what I'm going to talk about today. First of all, we need to develop a unity within the body. Now, Paul tells us at the very first of our reading this morning that we are to be as one. Now, we all drive cars. And based upon the car that you drive, the engine within your car is going to either have 4 cylinders, 6 cylinders, or 8 cylinders. I don't think there's any 10s out there anymore. Have you ever seen an illustration of an engine working? Those cylinders are constantly moving back and forth within, or the pistons are moving back and forth within the cylinders to create a perfect harmony of movement. And if one of them gets out just that little least amount, what happens to that engine? It seizes up and ceases to work. It has to be harmonious. Whether it's 4 cylinders, 6 cylinders, or 8 cylinders, it has to be harmonious. It has to literally be perfect in order to work correctly. So, you know, we could actually look at ourselves as maybe a large engine, and each Christian is the piston moving in and out of that cylinder to make this church function and work as it needs to work. And if any one of them get just the least bit out, then we have problems within the church. We need to develop unity within the church. We know that there are many parts to the human body. We know there's over 200 bones in the human body, more muscles and more tendons and more joints than that. And yet we all have to work together. This body has to work together. Even though there are many parts to the human body, we are still one body with many parts working together. And the same thing is true spiritually. Paul told us in verse 13 that Bill read to us that we are all united because we have all been baptized into one Spirit and all drink of one Spirit. We have experienced a oneness, in other words. We are all part of one thing. And every one of us who are Christians have experienced this oneness in Christ. Notice what Peter said when he talked for the very first time about Christianity in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. He said, "Repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Notice the two things that we receive when we repent and are baptized. We receive the forgiveness of our sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have all experienced this event. We are all now one because we have all experienced the very same thing. We have all been forgiven. We have all been given true life. We have all been given eternal life. Every one of us. It is one thing that God has given to us. This conversion experience is the common bond that brings us all together. It is that one experience that puts us one in Christ. And that should give us the unity that Paul is talking about here. That we be united as one. Next, there is diversity within the body. Verses 14 through 20 of our text talks about the diversity that we have in the body. Even though we are joined as various parts in one body of Christ, that doesn't mean that we are not different from one another. There is diversity within the body, and there is diversity within the body of Christ. Therefore, Paul said that no one should say that he or she is not a part of the body. Now, the reason people would say this is because maybe your part of the body is a little bit different than someone else's part of the body. And I'll get to that a little later on in the lesson. We have all shared that common experience, but yet we are all different. And here's the great truth. Different parts of the body do different things. And Paul is calling upon us to recognize these differences and do that which we have been put upon to do by God, our part. Did you know there are dangers with this, as I just said. Too many people often will look at others and what they are doing, and they'll decide, well, I'm just not going to do anything at all because, oh, so-and-so over here, he's doing it, and I see him do it, and it looks like he's doing a better job of it than I can do, so I'm just going to sit back and let him do it. My friends, don't look at what others can do and become discouraged at what you do. Instead, you need to look at what you do and do it with all your might. There are so many people here that can do things that I can't do well, that needs to be doing some of the things that I do, but won't. For some reason or the other. to function effectively as a Christian, each person who is a part of this church must do the part that God has set for him to do. Period. And God expects you to do your part. And I'm going to tell you, friends, you don't want to be standing in the shoes when the voice comes out that says, well, I didn't have anything I could do. If you stand before God in judgment and you say something like that, you don't want to be in those shoes, folks. Because God expects you to do something. And he's not going to accept that as an excuse. The local church is intended to have a wide diversity of people doing a variety of works. And we need more people doing more things. We need to lift up our eyes and see something that we can do and do it. There are no barriers. You know, I can count on one hand the times that someone has come up to me and said, do you need someone to do this? I would like to volunteer to do this. And I've only got four fingers and a thumb on this hand, and they have never been filled with someone coming to me and asking me that question. And I've been here now almost 23 years. We need to do the work that God has given us to do. Not necessarily what Terry and I have given you to do, but what God has given you to do. There are no barriers. There should be nothing to withhold you as a worker of the church. So take that, what you may think is so tiny and so insignificant part of your Christian body, and it may seem like almost nothing at all, and do it. Remember, little things can cause great things. Look at what the mustard seed can do. Look what one invitation to the church can do. When I was working as the youth minister at the last congregation we were at, we had a lot of turnaround at our church, and we got down to the fact I had two teenagers in my youth group. One boy and one girl, and they did not get along. And the girl got tired of when the things that we would do, she had to do it with him. So she goes to her school, and she invites some of her school friends to come to church with her and to some of our youth activities. And I want you to know that before I knew it, I had 15 kids in my class. From that one little invitation, folks. And it wasn't what you would call a major significant thing. It was just a girl that didn't want to be around that boy. And it worked. Sometimes the littlest things can make the greatest differences. Number three, we need to develop a dependency in the body. And what I mean by that, we sitting here today as part of the Dawson Road Church of Christ, we depend on each other. We have to depend on each other. Because if we don't depend on each other, some of the things won't get done. Paul states in verse 21 that no one can say they have no need of one another. There is no person here that can say that unless you just simply do nothing. And I hate to say it, we got folks here that simply do nothing. But that's not going to be an excuse that is going to be accepted by God. Whatever you're doing for the Lord is useful. Whatever you're doing for the Lord will reap results. And we need to know that. No one person can do it all. And no one person is expected to do it all. And we have that problem in the church today. Here in the church I left before I came here, and the church I left before I went there, and the church I left when I went to that one. It's a problem that is within, that is all within the church today. We've got that problem. And one of the problems that we have is that we like to hand all of the work either to the preacher or to the elders or the deacons or somebody and just sit back and let them do it. Well, that is a problem that we have in the works today. I mean, you know, serving here as a minister and an elder of this church, I wear many hats. Some of the hats that I wear, some of the hats that Terry has to wear, could be worn by a lot of people. Now, I wasn't brought here, but just to have two or three hats to put on my head. But now we have a lot more. Everybody needs to put on their hat. And everybody needs to do their work so that all of the work can get it done. Because I only have one head. So does Terry. And we cannot do it all ourselves. Everyone must do their part. Paul is describing here a need for the entire church to get involved in the work of the church. We are supposed to be like that human body where one part of the body is doing its own job and doing that job well. Now here's another point when it comes to depending on one each other. In the human body, when one part is hurt, the whole body hurts. When I get a headache, I'm affected from my head to my toes. It affects me all over. When I cut my finger, my whole body goes into action. My brain tells my feet, get up and get him to the medicine cabinet. That's where the medicine is. That's where the band-aids are. I get there, the other hand reaches in that medicine cabinet, and they grab that medicine, and they grab those band-aids. And if the cut is bad enough, the brain tells the body, get him to the doctor. It all works together to solve the one part that is hurting. Our body is that connected that it will do that. And our spiritual body should be that connected that we are ready to spring into action when one of our members has problems to help them to overcome those problems. And this is how we must see our Christian work. This is the way the Lord sees our Christian work. And then finally, we need to look at ourselves part by part. Verses 27 through 31 of what Bill read for us a while ago. When we look at ourselves as a body, we need to include ourselves as the one member who is a part of that body. And look at our neighbor as a different member who is also a part of that body. And here's the thing of it. When we look at ourselves as a body of Christ, when one of our members of our body is missing, we are not as strong as we were. We got a gentleman in the audience right now, Ronnie Deese. He suffered a fall, broke his shoulder. He fell again, broke his toes. Part of his body stopped working. He's here today, and I saw him walk with his body without his cane for a few steps. I thought that was miraculous. That was wonderful. I'm glad to see that. He couldn't do that 2 weeks ago. But the thing of it is, the other parts of his body were still helping the parts that were hurt. And they helped that part of the body to come back and to bring back its vitality and its usefulness again. And as Christians, we are to do the very same thing. When a part of our body is missing, we need to try to help it come back. We need to bring it back. Because from a spiritual standpoint, when we lose one of the pieces of our body, the soul is lost. We don't want that soul to be lost. And we do whatever we can to bring it back. For two reasons. For the purpose of that soul. And also for the fact that we are stronger with him or her than we are without them. And we need to know that. And here's another point. We need to concentrate on our own part, our own role as a Christian and not worry what someone else is doing. You know, we must be warned against two false ways of thinking. First, we need to be warned about the fact that we don't need anyone else. And we have people who are that independent. I don't need so-and-so. I don't need your help. I can do this alone. My friends, that's pride talking. Not only is it pride talking, it's foolishness talking. When we do not participate together, when we do not worship together, when we do not do the work together, we fail in following God's design for the church as members of that body. The second warning comes from assuming that we don't have anything to offer the church. There is nothing that I can do. My friends, it doesn't matter where you are in your Christian faith. You know, the person who steps out of this baptistry dripping wet, he immediately has something that he can give to the Lord. If nothing else, the fact that he just stepped out of that water as a new babe in Christ should encourage each of us to make our Christianity a little bit better. And that new babe in Christ just did that for us. That's work. And it doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. We've got people here in this church that are in their 80s and their 90s. And some of them may feel, well, I'm through. I'm the younger person can do that. I'll just let them. Wrong. Until you take that last breath, my friend, if you are not doing your part in the kingdom of God, you're going to be held responsible for it. And we need to know that. God has given everyone an ability to work in this church. Fact is, God needs you as a worker in this church. Our youth has the zeal. Our youth has the vitality. Our youth has the strength to move fast, to do things, to really get at it. And I know as I have aged, I've lost a lot of that because I can't move like I used to move. I can't do like I used to do. But let me tell you something else that we older folks can do. We can talk to our younger folks and we can encourage them. We can admonish them. We can train them. And we can help them who may not have the knowledge they need yet. Give them the knowledge that they need, so that their work can be better. There's always something that we can do. Everyone has an ability. So instead of comparing our lives, looking at the differences between us, let's look at our assets together. And let's put our assets together. And let's work together to get the job done. It's just like Paul said, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. I'm asking you, my friends, this morning to please consider your role in the work of this church. Because you have one. God expects you to use it. And He is the one who will reward you or condemn you for it. Think about that. If your life is not what it needs to be, correct it today and give your life and your work back to the Lord. And if you're not a Christian, give your life to Him today to begin your life to serve as a worker in God's kingdom. We need workers. You need salvation. There's two winds right there if you will only do it. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.